standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This episode of the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. And now, on with the show. Chris O'Brien is the co-host again this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're definitely 100,000% of the Paracast. And we have a really unusual special guest. Not that he's an unusual person. He's a very accomplished person, but he doesn't do radio. He's Dr. Frank Salisbury, and he'll join us later in the show. But right now, let's just talk about loads of other things. Now, as some of you know who've been following the discussions in the Paracast forums, there's been this ongoing brouhaha involving a woman from New Zealand who goes by the name of Emma Woods. I say goes by because that's not her real name. And Dr. David Jacobs, a fellow from the Philadelphia area who is a history professor but well known as a UFO abduction researcher. Now, Emma Woods has been making claims that during the treatment or the session she had on the phone from New Zealand to Pennsylvania, he abused her in some fashion. Now, there's an article in UFO Magazine by a character named Jeremy Vaney, who has been on the show in the past. He did a radio show with Jeff Ritzman called Paratopia, and he basically takes the point of view that David Jacobs is the villain, she's the victim. And it gets to be pretty crazy. As a matter of fact, our friend Jim Mosley in his latest issue of Saucer Smear is going to be talking about it, using the reference about sex and saucers. And the reason he mentions that is because there's an alleged request from Dr. Jacobs to get the panties, this is what the article says, panties from Emma Woods so we could see if there's alien semen in them.
Yikes.
Talk about weird.
I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not going to sniff that one either.
Oh, I think the sensors are listening. We have the 7-second delay. And after this episode, maybe after this discussion, it will become a 400-second delay because they can't stop us. We are incorrigible.
Now, I don't know. Something smells fishy about this one.
I don't know. I don't know what is going on with Dr. David Jacobs. He's been on the show. He's been a gentleman. I don't know that I support his methods. He does hypnotic regression to unearth supposed hidden memories of UFO abductions, which is very controversial. In fact, a lot of therapists don't believe that regression can be used for that. Kevin Randall, one of our other guests who's been on the show occasionally, he's a longtime UFO researcher who does not support regression therapy. I kind of think in the end that David Jacobs got in over his head and should never have gotten involved. This doesn't mean that he's innocent of any wrongdoing here. You know, I don't know whether he facilitated any of her perceptions or what. When you have this he said, she said situation, you know, you never know what's true, what isn't. It's so unfortunate because nothing in this incident helps us figure out what is going on, what the solution to the UFO mystery is, what's the source of UFO abductions. Nothing. It's just a lot of sensationalism, don't you think so?
It's rather tawdry.
That's a good phrase.
Well, I'm not going to touch that one there, Gene. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Vaney's take is. And I always look forward to Jim Mosley's take on controversial subjects. You know he's going to be mining the lowest common denominator on that one. So inquiring minds, stay tuned.
Well, of course, you know, the sex and saucers thing goes back to Jim Mosley and the late Gray Barker. You know, they used to always talk about that, always look for sexual inferences. You know, usually it was just a contactee who maybe was in touch with an attractive member of the opposite sex, and you wondered if there were more things going on there.
Hmm. Yeah, I did have a case like that, I must admit, Gene. She was in love with her abductor, and she especially liked some of the outfits that he would wear, including the gold lame cape that she said reminded her of Elvis, but not so tacky.
Now, this wasn't a case of the Stockholm Syndrome coming back to, as they say, you know, coming back to root there or something like that.
No, this wasn't. This is actually a pretty darn interesting case, very pretty well documented, referred to me by the sheriff's office. So
it wasn't the chickens coming home to roost.
No, but they sure were interested in her, and now her daughter, and prior to that, her mother. So we have a three-generation case that also features interest in farm animals. She does.
Please don't even start. Don't start with the farm animals, okay?
Well, I'm just telling it like it is. They seem to like her horse, so. What can I tell you?
He did it. He did it, ladies and gentlemen. Let me hide my head in shame because I never heard anything like that. I'm a nice Jewish boy from Brooklyn. What do I know from farm boys and farm girls and what goes on behind the barn?
Okay, well, moving right along.
You were in Utah again?
I was. I just got back from a wonderful trip to Utah to visit a recent guest, Ron McGare, and was taken. He was so sweet. He met us halfway. He had to drive 2 hours to our meeting spot, and we meandered our way up towards Moab. He showed us some very interesting petroglyph sites. Ron is a bit of an expert in interpreting petroglyphs. He's writing a book on, or a dictionary, basically, that attempts to interpret petroglyphs. He's been working on it quite a while. And one of the places I really was interested in seeing is the Sago Canyon area, which is north of I-70, kind of near the Green River. And at the top of Sago Canyon is the southernmost point of the Uinta Ute Indian Reservation, where rumor has it quite a bit of UFO activity has been going on this past few months. So I wanted to go up there and check it out myself. At the mouth of the canyon is a set of petroglyphs that are very just jaw-droppingly gorgeous and amazing. I've included photographs on the forum at theparacast.com, and it's just astounding, the artistic abilities of ancient man. Some of these petroglyphs, there's layers of them. Some of them may be as old as 9,000 years old. Had a great trip, took a lot of pictures. Didn't see anything flitting about in the sky, but boy, I needed to get away and, you know, get a little bit of downtime. I was able to do some fossil hunting and other things on my way back, and I'm back bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to rock.
And ready to roll.
Indeed.
Okay, well, speaking of rocking and rolling, we have a guest today that it's really a special occasion because this is the kind of guy who seldom, if ever, goes on radio. He doesn't make the coast-to-coast AM circuit, for example.
No, he doesn't. He's quite an esteemed scientist, many years, taught, up at Utah University. I think he was at Colorado State University. He has a PhD. He's worked on some very interesting projects with plant biology. He did experiments aboard the Mir space station he designed. He also wrote one of my favorite books on a wave of UFO activity, which came out in 1974. It was very instrumental in my thinking early on, called The Utah UFO Display, which covered a series of events and waves of activity in the Uinta Basin of Utah. Of course, the Sherman Ranch would be right in the middle of that particular area. And from 76 through 74, or excuse me, 66 through 1974, he and fellow researcher Junior Hicks did an exhaustive scientific examination and you know, logged quite a number of UFO events, and were able to come up with some pretty interesting conclusions, which we'll talk about.
Now, one thing I've noticed looking at the background of Dr. Salisbury, and I heard of him, I remember the book, he was also a scientific advisor for the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. That was Major Donald Kehoe's organization. Maybe he has, and we're not promising this, ladies and gentlemen, maybe he has remembrances of Major Kehoe.
Be interesting to hear.
Hey, Dr. Frank Salisbury coming up next. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory, no reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver, but don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Dr. Frank Salisbury, who is author of UFO books, UFO investigator, a real honest-to-goodness scientist. Someone has been a scientific advisor for both NICAP and APRO in the early days. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Dr. Salisbury, welcome to the PowerCast. You don't do the radio show circuit, do you?
No, but since I have a new book, I wouldn't mind if I did.
Okay, do tell. Tell us about the book.
Well, in July, a book was published entitled The Utah UFO Display. And it's a kind of a second edition of a book that was published in 1974, which is quite a while ago, 36 years, I guess.
Which I read in high school, actually, when it came out.
Did you really?
I did indeed.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's basically a matter of interviews with people in northeastern Utah, a big area called the Uinta Basin. It's surrounded by mountains with the Green River cutting through, going south. But otherwise, a big basin 70 miles across and, I don't know, 20 or 30 miles north and south, 70 miles east and west. And for some, at this point, still unknown reason, there was a lot of UFO activity out there in the mid-60s and going into the mid-70s and continuing ever since, but at a somewhat less intense level of the usual kind of UFO sightings, the big object flat on the bottom with lights flashing around the edge and a dome on top and that sort of thing. On the other hand, there's a ranch out there, which a lot of people now call the Skinwalker Ranch, and there was lots of activity going on there, and it went well beyond just big objects in the sky and went to strange creatures and little orbs flying around and portals that black objects went in and out of, and it's a very interesting situation. It's very different from the way it had been way back when I first interviewed people in the late 1960s. So it seemed like it would be a good time to update the book. Although I had been inactive in the field for a couple of decades, beginning in about 1980, mostly because I saw myself losing some scientific objectivity as I began to relate the whole phenomenon to my religion. But I came back, and I'm trying to be as scientific as possible.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, which is the fact of the matter is that in the UFO field, people seem to come and go. I did that. You know, I started when I was 11 years old. I read a book by Major Donald Kehoe, Flying Saucers from Outer Space. My late brother left that book, a library book, on his coffee table. I picked it up, and I was hooked. So,
incidentally, I just read that book about a month ago. I bought a reprint, I was going to say it was just printed by offset or something, but I think somebody had to copy it because I had too many mistakes to have been a copy of the original. Anyway, I did read it. It was interesting. Published in 1950, I think.
Exactly. And that's interesting, too. I wondered, you know, with something like that, maybe it's just a matter of the fact that the book was out of copyright, so people could just reproduce it.
That could be. I don't know. But I saw an ad for it, and I sent in my money, I guess, and it was interesting to read it, to see that in many ways, things have hardly changed since 1950. We're still thinking the government has big secret files, and they probably do. We're still thinking, I think Kehoe said, within the next year or two, it's all going to be made public. The government is going to tell us all the good stuff they have. And people are still
saying
that.
Yeah,
sounds
like a broken record.
You know, yeah, he was saying this in the 1950s.
Yeah.
And now it's 2010. And we now have a group of people called, well, they're in a movement called Exopolitics. And they are saying the same thing. Now, have you gotten any observations about this Exopolitics movement? Do you think they're just basically broken records or what?
No, I haven't. I can't really comment on it except to say that I went to the last two MUFON annual conferences. They were both held in Denver. And the speakers were among the Illuminati of the UFO research business. And,
interesting you use the word the Illuminati of the UFO research business.
I'd never used that before. I was pretty proud of myself.
You know what? Why don't you patent it
word.
So this way somebody doesn't steal it?
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, a number of them said, well, it won't be long until the government comes clean, and we all know what's been going on. I mean, I don't know about the organization that you mentioned, but that's there's many people out there that are talking that way still. And I don't know how long they'll talk that way. I guess I'm not really expecting that to happen. I think there's no doubt that the government has a great deal of information, and I don't think they have rationalized it all away. I think they know that there's a very strange phenomenon going on. But I think that the very strange phenomenon is intelligent enough to, I don't know how to say it. I want us to have control over what we do, but that sounds like power over the mind, and I'm not sure that's the case. I think there's just the intelligence that we're dealing with is just very intelligent and able to manipulate the public and what people think. It's an interesting phenomenon.
Well, at the very least, it's ephemeral and it's smart enough to keep a step or two, maybe three ahead of us. So,
yeah, well, that's...
I've always said the government knows a lot more than we do. That's why they're a lot more confused than we are.
That answers it right there. That has to be the reason why the government is confused. But they're confused about so many things. And that's an interesting thing, an interesting dichotomy. And you're somebody who's been, you know, at this for such a long time. Do you think we even believe the government if they came out and said, you know, E.T.'s here? Assuming it's E.T. E.T.'s here. Why should we believe them? We don't believe the government. We distrust the government these days.
That's basically true, except that a lot of people would like to believe it, and maybe on that basis they would accept it. I don't know.
That's religious validation.
You know, yeah. You know the statistics that something like usually hovering around 50% of the population says they believe in UFOs. I hate that phrase because it has implications that I don't like it, of blind faith, I guess, and also nuts and bolts spacecraft from other worlds. So those two things are implied when they say, I believe.
I'll tell you what, I believe that we have to break for an announcement here from our benefactors.
All right.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you, Dr. Frank Salisbury, joining us, the co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com. Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
You notice the rhythm with which we do that, you know. It's kind of like the rhythm. If you ever see the TV show Castle, and you have, okay, there's a TV show on ABC, Castle. It involves this guy who plays a mystery writer, and he works with this woman who's a police detective. And they have this tremendous rapport, and it apparently took 120 auditions of actresses to find somebody who worked with a male star and had this kind of repartee and this charisma. And listen, Chris and I, you know, we've only met once and we're still doing this great kind of thing here where I say you're in and he just, you know, gets right in there and he identifies the name of the show. Dr. Frank Salisbury has not made the UFO or paranormal radio show circuit, although, of course, he's come out with a new edition of his book, so now he has to do it. He's forced into it. Now, in the early days, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, when you're getting involved in this thing, at that particular point in time, scientists, even now, scientists couldn't possibly take UFO research seriously, but you became an advisor for NICAP and also for APRO. How did you get involved with that?
The way I got involved was through a term paper that I wrote at Caltech. I graduated with my PhD in 1954, technically 55, because they didn't have a graduation at the end of August. I was taking a minor in geochemistry, and we had to write term papers each quarter. That's all we had to do. We didn't take any tests. The quarter concerned the solar system and the Earth from a broad standpoint before we got down to earthquakes and coal deposits and things like that. And so I decided to write about life on Mars. And that became a hobby, and eventually I wrote an article entitled Martian Biology that was published in Science Magazine, even with a cover photos of Mars and the whole works. Everything in it, incidentally, turned out to be wrong after we got the Mariners and things like that, where we really got the facts about Mars. But I got a letter and a copy of Coral Lorenzen's book, and I read it and thought, and that was 1962, and I thought, hey, maybe there's something going on here with these UFOs, and I was hooked from then till, like I say, about the right around 1980, when I had successfully backed off a bit. I did write a foreword to a UFO book in 1993, I think it was. But otherwise, backed off until about 2000, when Tom Tullian came and interviewed me on for a Project Sign oral history type thing.
This is an interesting thing I wanted to bring up here. Coral Lorenzen, Jim and Coral Lorenzen, ran this organization, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. I had run-ins with Coral Lorenzen. We didn't get along. I don't want to go into the answers why. She was a crusty woman, very, you know, hard-nosed kind of lady.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe that's what we needed for the UFO field. Now, that's an interesting dichotomy here. You were associated with NICAP, which was the organization that Major Donald Kehoe was involved in, but after Kehoe left, right?
Right. I was, as I just related, I got into the field via Coral Lorenzen, and very soon, of course, her husband, Jim. And there was a bit of competition, to put it nicely, between APRO and NICAP. And so I didn't have a lot to do with NICAP. I was on APRO's side until I went to Washington, D.C. as a technical, I can't think of the title, but for the Atomic Energy Commission. I replaced a man who went on sabbatical for a year, and I thought it would be an interesting experience, and I did. And there I was contacted by Jack Acuff, who had just bought what was left of NICAP. And we became friends, and I was on a couple of radio shows of his, and then eventually this TV show with Donald Kehoe, hosted by Martin and Rowan, and on the day that Nixon resigned. It was an interesting time to be in a TV station. Nobody gave a hoot about us or what we had to say. They were running around waiting for the official announcement from Nixon.
Let me give everybody the story. You know, let me give everybody the story before we go back to this. Let me just kind of interrupt. My story about the Watergate era, that my first wife and I spent the night at my uncle's condo at the Watergate complex in the 1970s. A week later, the Watergate burglary occurred. Okay, so basically doing a UFO show with that political hot potato occurring, nobody paid attention.
Nobody paid any attention. But interestingly enough, the Atomic Energy Commission, located out in Germantown, about 25 miles out of the center of Washington, recorded it for me. I've never played it back. I've got it sitting on a tape, you know, and I probably never will now. Because
you probably need a machine now to play it, because those machines are obsolete.
Right. That's right. But anyway, the point is, the Atomic Energy Commission people didn't call me crazy. And that brings up another point. I got into NASA funding for our research very early, 1960, very, very shortly after NASA was organized. I was told that we were one of three projects in biology, the first ones that were funded by NASA. And so there were meetings and committees and all kinds of things. And when it became known that I was interested in UFOs, they'd asked me to talk about it. And I would. I gave many talks. I just was reviewing my meetings and trips files, and it was amazing to me how many talks I had given. And they were always positively received, mostly, I think, because I really worked hard at being objective and not sounding like a nut. And it was just kind of entertainment for the meeting, you know, something to do when we're through with the deliberations of the day. But
so basically, you were basically the comedy relief.
Yeah, only people didn't laugh. They took it seriously. They considered, hey, maybe there is something going on out there, but it's not our field, and we'll go on doing what we're doing. And but it's nice to hear the story from this guy that's involved. You know, that was sort of the attitude that I picked up.
Now, that's an interesting thing about attitude here. Now, in the early days, scientists didn't become involved in UFO investigation. You know, this was not a real thing. Of course, we have exceptions. Dr. J. Allen Hynek investigated UFO cases, but he debunked them. So a serious scientist, you're a biologist, you know, what are you doing getting involved in this crazy quilt work of non-scientific investigation? How were you treated?
Yeah, well, that's it. And I was trying to treat it scientifically. There was a correlation at that time with the distance to Mars and the number of sightings. The closer Mars got, the more sightings. And was that pure psychology, or was it somebody coming from Mars? I think that was the implication at the time. And there were other things. There was Amy Michel over in France who found that sightings on a given night seemed to fall right along a great circle of the Earth's surface.
I'll tell you what I want to talk about, Amy Michel, because he's one of those lost figures in UFO history. He had a book out called Flying Saucers and the Straight Line Mystery, right?
That's right. He's
I remember, and we have Dr. Frank Salisbury, and we'll talk about who Amy Michel was and what the straight line mystery signified, if anything, as we progress here. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free Whois Guard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers, and all WindBlue Power kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code radio for 5% off, or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
The rare appearance by Dr. Frank Salisbury, who after listening to this episode, this show, will never go on radio ever again, I think.
That's right.
I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. And one of the things you mentioned here was this theory about some kind of way to catalog UFO sightings and find consistency. So we have Amy Michel writes this book. He's a French astronomer, is it? Or a mathematician?
I'm not exactly sure what he was, except that he was very bright, and he was a dwarf. His legs were short. He stood about 4.5 feet tall, maybe at the most. I have a picture of him in my book that I took when he came through Utah and visited me in 1972, I think. And I visited him in Paris the first time in about 1962. And we communicated a bit. Jacques Vallée he's a big name in the UFO business, and he was very close to Amy Michel. I've been reading a couple of his diary-type books, and he mentions Amy over and over.
It's interesting here, parenthetically, by the way, Jacques Vallée is going to be on the PowerCast real soon. We're going to remember, and Chris, make a note of this, please. We're going to remember to ask about Amy Michel. Okay, so let's talk about the theory in more detail here. How did he arrive at this material that formed the basis of this book, Flying Saucers and the Straight Line Mystery?
We collected a bunch of cases and tried to analyze them, see if they formed a pattern, and he decided that they did. I've heard some debunking of it, so I don't know what to make of it at this stage, but at the time it was quite impressive, and it maybe is still quite impressive. I don't know whether the debunkers know what they're talking about or not. Incidentally, I spent a week before last with Jacques Vallée over in the Uinta Basin interviewing some more people. He wanted to keep a kind of a low profile, but if he's going to be on your show, it can't be a very low profile.
We will definitely ask Dr. Vallée about that and his continuing interest in the Uinta Basin, most specifically the Sherman Ranch.
Yeah, which he won't tell you much about, because he signed non-disclosure statements with Bob Bigelow.
Oh.
And he and I, of course, we talked about it quite a bit, but he would not, he was being loyal or showing integrity to the thing he had signed, so he didn't give away anything. But that's all right. He, we talked about a lot of interesting things.
Well, we'd like to hear more about those interesting things. What are your feelings about the Uinta Basin? Why do you feel that it is? It seems to be a ground zero, sort of a hot spot area for this for these aerial object sightings, and now, you know, with the release of Hunt for the Skinwalker, apparently. Strange creature sightings, cryptozoological type entities. I personally was, I think, the first nationally known investigator to visit Terry and Gwen Sherman prior to the intense media that came out after the Zach Van Ecke articles back in 96. But why do you think the Uinta Basin is such a hotbed of activity? Your book is filled with 70, 80 very good reports of unusual object sightings.
Yeah, back then, and Junior now has over 400. That's a tough question in a way. I think the Uinta Basin really is a hotbed, typical of other hotbeds around the world. But I also think there's a strong effect of good old Joseph Junior Hicks, who was a science teacher in the, I think it was a junior high school in the basin, and he got the reputation of being the local UFO expert, and so people came to him and gave him their stories, and that could be what's lacking in other places, nobody to report to, other than authorities who brush it off and ignore it, and as a rule, don't know what to do about it, and all Junior knew to do about it was interview them and let them make drawings and just collect data. That's what he did and does. He's the same age I am, and that's pretty old. We're 84, and he's still doing electrical work for people. I'm sitting around trying to write an occasional book.
Isn't it interesting, though, that nowadays, of course, you know, I was watching a TV show the other day, Robert Wagner. Of course, he is 80 years old, and he's still got the twinkle in his eye.
Yeah, well, we can keep our twinkle at this stage.
In the 80s, the new 60.
We, Jacques Vallée and Junior Hicks and I, week before last, went around and interviewed all we could in the course of 4 days, which it turned out to not be very many, partly because they wouldn't be available, some of the ones that Junior wanted to have us meet. And they weren't available just because they didn't answer the phone. They're out of the basin or something, not because they didn't want to be interviewed. But we did have a number of interviews, and they were very interesting. One question I had in my mind is, some of those people back then that had those spectacular sightings in the 60s, early 70s, what are they doing now? And have they had a lot of sightings since? And we visited two of them, Leland Meekum and Joanne Harris. And it was interesting to me that they said no, that the sighting they had then was the first time they had had such an experience and the last. And that's not particularly typical. There are a lot of people around the country and the world who see them repeatedly. And
now,
I don't know exactly
what
that means.
I wanted to ask you about that, Dr. Salisbury. And that is, of course, do people who see UFOs, are they largely people who see them over and over again? Has there been any surveys done as to how many people have it happen to them one time, which may be too many times in some cases, and other people just keep seeing them?
No, I don't know about surveys. But that's surely my impression. I gave a little talk to the local MUFON group last Saturday, and there was a guy there who sees them all the time and has been abducted several times and so on. And I don't know what to make of those kind of stories, for sure. I had to kind of shy away from the abductions because I don't know what to do about it. But here were these two cases, and they were spectacular cases. Joanne Harris was the one that was, and she doesn't like to be called Harris. Her name now is Luby, or Lube, L-U-B-E. And she had a large Indian woman in the front seat and four Indian girls in the back seat heading down to Randallette to take them home after a volleyball game in Roosevelt. And they see this light below the horizon, funny star if it's below the horizon, and it comes toward them. Each time the light comes on, it's stationary, and then it goes off, and the next time it comes on, it's much closer. And eventually, it's filling the windshield, huge, 50 feet away, 100 feet away, biggest a church in Randallette, she said. Those were her words.
Wow.
Try and describe it. And the four Indian girls on the floor of the back seat screaming and trying to all get on the floor. The large Indian woman in the front seat is under the glove compartment, which has always been a mystery as to how she managed that. And Joanne is backing up down the road to get away from it, and it's right there. She even has a instantaneous thought that maybe there's some Air Force guys up there in that dome laughing at me right now.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the Air Force guys. We'll talk about all sorts of other stuff. We have Dr. Frank Salisbury, a scientist, UFO researcher. We're covering an awful lot of ground, a lot more ground to cover. If you have something to say about the show, we want to hear from you. Send your messages to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. Or visit our forums, forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com. Just sign up, give yourself a unique username, and get in on the fun. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.